are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at First Love Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes and no.
Put your hands together for Jesus! Lift up your hands and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are not afraid to cry before you. After all, you call us the children of God, not the adults of God. Give us humble hearts. Give us sensitive spirits that can relate, that can receive. Your word says, suffer the little children to come to me. For this is the kind of such is the kingdom of God. Make us children at heart. May we see you as our Father everlasting. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us. Lord, be the subject and the object of everything we say, we think, or we do here. We bind every force of Satan. We rebuke the works of the devil. We say, let your word have free course. Let the devil never steal any aspect of this word, but let it work in our hearts. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Give somebody a smile, a high five, and a welcome. And you may please be seated. Tell the person, Jesus wipes away your tears. Wonderful. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. You see, men, because we said, somebody said, men don't cry. You see, because of that, Jesus is walking past you. You have to cry a little sometimes. Yeah. Your pillow is too dry. You see, when you skip the tears on your pillow, the pain will be in your heart, but Jesus will not, because he tests with the tears on your pillow. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today I want to share with you something that is very important for every Christian. And so long as you remain a Christian, you will need it. You will need it. How many are here who intend to be homeless for your life? All right. How many are here who you don't want to receive any help from anybody? All right. So then this message is for you. I'm in the right place. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I am in the right place. Today I'm going to share with you something I'm sure will bless you. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, from verse number 27. Luke chapter 10. Let's start from verse 25. But actually, the story starts from 30. But now, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Pastor Richard, okay, they left. Then, listen to this. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we are going to answer that question in a roundabout way, but you know, by the time we finish reading, you'll see it. Then verse 26, I'm going to read up to verse 35. So he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? What do you read? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord. The lawyer answered Jesus, oh, the book says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Wow, what a great answer. Then Jesus was impressed. He said, wow, you have answered it correctly. So do this and you shall live, have an eternal life. Clap for the Lord Jesus. If you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, you're good. So it looks like life generally is about love. Yeah. That's the whole duty of man. It's to love and obey God and to love your neighbor, period. Yeah, That's the common denominator. If you don't have love, your life is useless. You do not inherit eternal life. Okay. But this guy went on further. He, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, "By the way, who's my neighbor? I know who God is, but who's my neighbor?" So Jesus, now, this is where the story begins. Jesus answering said, "A certain man," say "a certain man," "went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Verse 31. "And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way." Christians and priests, listen to this carefully. "And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Priests, religious people who pass by, no love, not caring, no time. Tell some of church folks are not necessarily going to inherit eternal life. Say, "God forbid for me, God forbid for me," including priests. "And likewise," this was priests, "likewise the Levites." The Levite is people who had dedicated themselves to serve God, even though they were not priests, like you and I. "When he was at the place, he came and looked on him." Come, come, you are the one. Come and lie down. Beaten, half dead. Listen to this carefully. Now, why some guys? Come beat him. Come beat him up and strip him. Yeah, come, beat him, by Michael, beat him, take your belt, smack him, yeah, take off the shit, yeah, leave him half dead, yeah,
it's okay.
The guys are here,
no.
Bruised, strip him, steal some things, steal some shoes, steal some, yeah, strip him, steal some watch, take the watch, take the shoes, strip him, no, strip him, yeah, take the shoes, take some of his teeth off, yeah, Drew. Yeah, one shoe. If he had, does he have wallet? Does he have some money? Yeah, take some money. All of that. Yeah, take the wallet. Strip him, his shirt. Take this. Take the tie. Yeah, take this. Take the gold. Yeah. No, come. You don't know how to strip people. Wound him. Wound him, yeah. He's wounded. Step on him and things like that, yeah. Kick him. I mean, come on. Beat him. Wound him. Wound him. He will be half dead. Half dead. Half dead. Yeah. Half dead. And go. Half dead. He can't move. He can't move. Half dead. Half dead. No, watch this. Stay here. You're going to stay here for a while. So the priest came. Half dead. Half dead. You can't move. You're only breathing. That's it. Almost dead. Then the priest came. Where's the cross? Where your cross and come, priest? Yeah. Came. No, he was coming. Come, you. Brother Micah, you. The three of you. Three of you. Go there. Go and start. Priest in cross with your Bible. Any big Bible around? Give me some big Bible. Yeah, please bring it to him. He has two Bibles. Two Bibles. And then the Levite, yeah, will also come. He came and passed on the other side. He didn't know. On the other side. You didn't come close. On the other, no. On the other, he further. No, stay. Go. On the other side. He didn't even go there. Now, the Levite also has a Bible, a Christian. But he came and looked and went. Watch it. Levite came close. Came and looked on him. He said, "I'm afraid. I don't know. The murderers were here. What if they come and they beat me up?" "No, I'm not a fool." He looked. He smiled. Said, "No, I'm not a fool. I'm going. Leave." He left. Now, there came The next one. No, I think you should sit down. He should come. You look like a Levite. He doesn't look like, yeah. He looks like a rogue. He doesn't, no. You don't have a Bible. You are a Samaritan. You don't know much about the Bible. Stay there. Wait, stay there. Regular guy. He doesn't tuck in. He has a copy, everything. He's a simple, he's a mafia. Samaritan, simple. Nobody respects him. Where's the dark glasses? Business he doesn't have. He's coming. A certain Samaritan, stranger, as he journeyed, he came where he was. He saw him and had compassion on him. And Bible says, come. And he went to him and bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast, his own donkey. He came with a servant and brought him to the inn and took care of him. Look at that. Taking care of him. He doesn't have a Bible. He doesn't have a cross. He poured oil and wine. Give me communion wine. Poured oil. Give him water to drink. Put everything. Resuscitated him. And dressed his wounds with oil. Oil and wine. Give me some wine from the communion. Oil and wine. Give him, yes. Feel better? Yes. Give him. Yeah. Dress his wounds. Wine. Pour oil on some of the wounds. Yeah. Wine here. Clean. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. And some oil. Some oil. Look at this. Look at this. This is it. He doesn't know. Stranger. Oil. Anointing. And carried him. Went and brought his beast. His strong men, the two of them. You are his beast. Come and carry him. The two of you. Come and carry him. He carried him. They both carried. He called his beast. Carry him to the innkeeper, to the inn. Carry him. He can carry him. Carry him, please. He can't walk. He was almost half dead. But this has revived him. Now they are taking him to take care of him. To take care of him. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Look at him. He will come back properly restored. The Bible says on the morrow, he took him to the inn. And the following day, the stranger, Samaritan, the good Samaritan, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host. Come, I'm the one taking care of him. Bring some money to me. No, I'm the one. He brought it. I'm the innkeeper. So, I'm taking care of you. Sit here. You're going to have front seat all the time. Now, I'm bringing you glasses you can wear. I'm giving you a new watch. Because of what he paid me, your watch that was stolen is back. Your cross that was stolen is back. He gave me money for all that. The good Samaritan. Yeah. Yeah. He bought an iPad for you while you are here. He gave you 2 Bibles. He paid me money to take care of you. And he paid for you in the inn. And then he came as if it was not enough. He told me, take care of him. And whatever else I spend more. Thank you. Everything I can sell. This is your phone. I'm taking of him. Yeah. Whatever else, you will repay me. Everything. God bless you. You don't need to worry about it. Your food is taken. Accommodation is taken. Hospital bills, insurance, everything is here. And anything else that matters, he will add. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, the Bible says in verse 36, which now of these three do you think was a neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? What will the answer be? The strange Samaritan. Or is it a priest? Or is it a Levite? Is a strange Samaritan. Brother William. Then Jesus said in verse 37, and Jesus said, the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy on him. Mercy is shown to people that don't deserve it. They haven't earned it, but you decide to give. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Go and do likewise. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the blueprint of Christianity. If you don't know anything about Christianity, this is it. This is it. Do likewise. Be neighborly. Beloved. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know who the Good Samaritan is? Jesus. A stranger to this earth. Half man, half God. Strange, alien. Jesus was an alien, foreigner, stranger. He came to his own and his own received him not. So Samaritans had no dealings with Jews. But the most important aspect is he came. Seeing him half dead, but he saw him as half alive. Bound up his wounds. Poured in wine and oil. Carried him on his own beast or donkey, ass, whatever. And then sent him to the inn and told the innkeeper, take care of him. Take care of him. With this money. And whatever else that you need extra, in case you spend more, when I come back, I'll pay you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, as we start this message, in life, the Bible says in verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his raiment, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. In life, you know, when you look at Jerusalem, I've been to Israel. Jerusalem is on a mountain. Tell somebody, I'll be there. It's on a mountain. Jericho is far down. You have to descend to go to Jericho. Jerusalem in the ancient days was actually called Jebus. And it was therefore inhabited by the Jebusites, like we're in America, Americans. The Jebusites. Now, this was the history about them. They were so secure because that place was in a mountain, very tall, surrounded by mountains, and everyone that would try to invade them could not. The reason is they're on top of the mountain, and therefore they could see anybody that was coming. So before you can, and it's a tall climb. So by the time you come, number one, you're tired. Number two, they know who and when you started coming. They are prepared. And also, you see them, but they're surrounded by mountains. So you can't get there. And by the time you get there, you are weak just by the climb. And they overcame you. So it used to be said that even the blind and the lame, they would boast. Now that's for us, Jebusites. Anybody that tries to come here, even if only lame and blind people are here, they will overcome you. That's how secure the place was. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, that was the old name of Jerusalem, Jebus. Now, when David conquered the place, he called Jerusalem the city of the Lord. Jerusalem means the city of the Lord, the city of peace. Salem is from the word Shalom. Peace. Salem. Peace. Okay. Jerusalem. Jeru was from the word Jebus. Jebus, but they call Jerusalem. The city of peace. The city of security. The city of strength. The city of peace. The city of God. And Bible, therefore, they call it that God's house. They seated the throne of God there, called Mount Zion, what it is called. Mount Zion, the place of God. Have you heard about that song? It's Mount Zion, the site of the north. The north, the highermost point. The city of the great king. It's Mount Zion, the site of the north. The site, you can only get close. You can't get above Mount Zion. Yeah. So Psalm 125, that's the city of God. That's the presence of God. That's the sanctuary of God. That's Zion, where God sits. That's why the security of the place is so important. That is why they said that that man, he came down. Down. He came down. The man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Bible says in Psalm 125, they that trust in the Lord, when you are in the presence of the Lord, in the house of God, in with the house, in the church, the house of God, where God is, your security can be compared to Jerusalem. Even if you are lame, even if you are blind, you are secure, you are stable. The Bible says, Psalm 125 verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but will abide forever. And the verse 2 says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. His people, henceforth, even forevermore. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I have that faith that when you are in the Lord, when you are in the house of the Lord, when you are settled, you are surrounded by a mountain of protection as the mountains are. You don't have to be strong because you have a strong God. You don't have to be strong because you are in a fortress. You know, when you are a place that is fortified, you don't have to worry about ammunition because you are strong. That's why even the blind and the lame were stable. Clap again for the Lord Jesus. Bible says the Lord God is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and they are safe. Is it 46:10? They are safe. They are safe. This was the safety and security that this man had, and he decided to go down to Jericho. It's like Job. Bible says in Job chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. I love that scripture. It says, Job, God gave Job triple security. Job, when the devil came to try to attack Job, he couldn't. And the Lord said, have you considered him? He said, oh God. Why are you tempting me? Why are you teasing me? You know, I've tried many times. And the devil spoke these words. He said, Lord, have you not made a hedge about him? Have you not made a hedge about his house and about everything he has on every side? Every true Christian who stays with the Lord and not go away from the Lord, you are promised three levels of protection. A hedge around you, a hedge around your household, a hedge around everything that you have on every side. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And you have blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. I see your substance increasing in the land in Jesus' name. How many know that it is absurd, it is counterintuitive, it makes no sense to walk away from such security? It's stupid, outright stupid. Now, when you look at the stories, Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30, Bible says a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, that word there, interpreted, it means you downgrade. Yeah, I was surprised. It's a downgrade. Actually, a downgrade. It means to step down. It means to fall back. It means to backslide. It means to deteriorate. It means to fall. That word went down from Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. You can never go up on God. Anytime you step away from God, you're on your way down. There is no higher place than the sights of the north, than the presence of God, than the house of God. This guy stepped back and fell down. That word is important. He went down. There is no way you can upgrade your life without God. It's a downgrade. Now, many times, I believe in Psalm 37 verse 1, that says, do not fret over the wicked, or the prosperity of the wicked, or evildoers, because of evildoers, or be envious of the workers of iniquity. You know, when somebody is stepping away from God, anytime you step away from God, whether by prayer, by stopping to go to church, by stopping to give to the Lord, by stopping your commitment to God, you step back. You can't go up on God. They give you a job promotion that tells you from now you shouldn't go to church. It's a step back. It's a regression. It's a deterioration. Yeah, you are now tired and you are now cozy enough to sleep without prayer. It's a regression. It cannot be any better. It's a step down. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a reality. And that is what happened to this guy. He actually deteriorated. I'm going to show you a few things that will surprise you. I'm going to use my glasses. Oh, clap for these beautiful, beautiful glasses. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot go upward on God. Otherwise, it's going to be like this. Let me tell you, does anybody know about escalators? When you step on an escalator, especially if you go to Atlanta, very tall ones that rise up, sometimes three floors, and you step on it, and you're going up. It's easy. You don't have to do anything, you go up. But on the other hand, when you step on it and it's going down, you don't have to do anything. You may be making steps, but already just by the fact that you're on it, you're on your way down. You're on your way down, sometimes very fast, but because you're standing there, people don't see it. It's meant to help people who are missing their flight to gather momentum. Now, one of our friends, he was given an umbrella, and it was a very rainy season. So he went to a client, and then the client gave an umbrella because, you know, they loved him. And they thought, oh, since you're going, get one of our umbrellas because it's raining out there. So he took the umbrella and then stepped on the escalator. Long one was going down. He kept going. And just before he could get to the middle, he realized, man, I left my umbrella up there. Now, it was the kind of escalator that, you know, some escalators, the one down and the one up are side by side. But when you go to Memphis, sometimes you have to actually go to the other side to carry on. And so he calculated the length and the time and the beauty of the umbrella and the season. People will definitely take it. So he decided, no, I'm not going to get down. I'm going to run up the escalator that is on its way down. So he started running up. Run and run and run and sweated and sweated. Ladies and gentlemen, he could not get up. And as he was going, he met people who were pushing him. Where are you going? Shoving him. So he could not get anywhere. He had no choice but to just go down and walk around. The umbrella was gone. Thieves have taken it. Ladies and gentlemen, when you set yourself, step away from the Lord, you are like on an escalator that's on its way down. You don't have to do much. Some aspects of your life may look okay. You're breathing. You still have your job. You're still married. But you may see, it's a matter of time. When you put the relative motion together, you're still in the negative. The net motion is still downwards. May you never go down on God in the name of Jesus Christ. Never. Never. Otherwise, you also look like a battery. When you have your telephone, I charged this telephone this morning. I've not used it much. But I can assure you, so long as I do not stick with it connected to the source of charge, I don't have to do much. It will run out. It will just run out. The source and sustenance of life and relevance of this phone depends on the connectivity to the charge. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You connect from it, it's on its way down. It's discharging. It may be active for a while, but it's just a matter of time. That's how it is when we step away from the Lord. Yeah, step away. You make God into a problem. And the Bible says, he fell among thieves who stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Then later on, he found the priests and the Levites who avoided him, and he found the Samaritan. Ladies and gentlemen, in this life, we have three groups of people that you will meet. There are people abusers. There are people avoiders. And there are people helpers. Which of them are you? Which of them are you? Some people, they don't do anything. You can't fault them for being bad. They didn't help you, but they didn't hurt you. They are people avoiders. These are the priests and the Levites. They are passive. Spencer, say amen. Passive. So usually those people, you can't fault them. But you see, when you sit on the fence, it will break. Christianity is not a fence type of relationship or religion. It's an active religion. Jesus did not sit on the fence in heaven. He was not passive. He was people helpers. He was a people helper. Even when he went, he sent the helper, the Holy Spirit. Clap for the Lord Jesus. But there are people abusers. Some of us have been abused. Have been used. Abused and abandoned. To use somebody is just to take advantage of somebody. But to abuse is to abnormally use somebody. Abuse. Yeah. Human beings are not meant to be slapped, but to be massaged and to be loved. When you start slapping them, it's abuse. When you start kicking them and wounding them, that's abuse. Let's not abuse one another. Amen. Thieves abused. Stripped him of his raiment. Some of us have been stripped of our security. There are people that will strip you of your virginity. Strip you of the little that you have. And unfortunately, people who are disadvantaged are the ones that are stripped. Cheating is a form of stripping. To get the maximum advantage of people. The guy was stripped of his raiment. Was rendered naked. Some people, when you relate with them, by the time you are leaving, you have nothing. You are less than you came in. Some people are here. I pray that you don't marry such a person. God forbid. They strip you of your health. Perhaps injecting you with HIV. They strip you of your virginity. I mean, there was a certain guy. I mean, people are disadvantaged. I know a certain guy who was in this land, who was a foreigner. He didn't have immigration papers. Somebody said, come, I'm going to help you. You need accommodation, I'm going to give you accommodation. You don't have to pay anything. Ladies and gentlemen, this girl was a virgin. Then at night, the guy came and said, man, you don't have to pay anything. You just have to pay in kind. He stripped the girl, young lady, beautiful Christian. Night after night, this is an old man, abused her, slept with her. He was even married. But the girl had to be quiet, stripped her of her security, of her self-confidence, of her virginity. took advantage of her. I don't even know whether she was helped in any way after that. That's a human people abuser. They can strip you of anything and wound. You know, when we talk about wounds, we're talking about things that have hurt you. People can really wound. And sometimes people are so wounded. You know, when you say somebody has wounded you, it means that he has affected you in a way that you don't function normally anymore. When your leg is wounded, you limp, right?
Right.
You limp. That's a wound. That's a wound. Wound. You're wounded. You can't function normally anymore. Sometimes the wound is so deep that it creates scars. There are people that, who are here. The treatment we have received from others, by a guy perhaps, you can't trust guys anymore. You're wounded. You can't function. You can't even marry. Because the last time you were with a guy who you were about to marry, he came and visited, said, I'm going down the road. I'll be back. That was the end. That was the end. That was the end. So now you've met a nice guy like your pastor who wants to marry you. But now, you can't accept it. You can't trust anybody, including this nice pastor of yours. When I'm preaching, yeah, he's just one of those guys. Some of you have been through churches. You've been wounded. You've been hurt. Money has been extorted from you. So you've labeled all pastors thieves. You're wounded. You're hurt. And your hurt is speaking. Sometimes, insecurities have failed you because you can't trust people. The man had a Bible but ignored you, but hurt you. So now, when somebody comes close, like, what do you want? We call it hypersensitivity. They touch, why are you jumping? It was just a finger touch. But there's a wound, there's a scar, there's a hurt. Sometimes you get married and you suffer. Nice guy. Recently, I saw a certain WhatsApp message. A lady said she had dreamt. A lady was on the husband. You need to apologize to me. Why? Because you disgraced me in front of a lot of people. You called me silly. You called me stupid. You called me a fool. You must apologize. The husband said, when did I do that? Last night. Where? Right here in this room. But where were the people? There were a lot of people here. How? Because I was dreaming. You need to apologize to me now. Otherwise, I'm not. You embarrassed me. The husband was confused. Sometimes people are confused. They don't know what's wrong with you. But they are not reacting only to you, but they are reacting to deeper things inside. Your wounds, your hurts that people have inflicted over the years. I pray that you will not inflict wounds on people. I pray that you will not be a people abuser. I pray that you will not be people avoider and ignorer. You will be people helper. Amen. These days I've learned to see that when people come to counseling, I'm not dealing with one person. I'm dealing with a person and his history, his past, his afflictions, his insecurities, his abuses. Things I expect to be there have been stripped. Some people were never brought up well. They speak anyhow. You get angry. No. They were stripped. Stripped of a father. A father was irresponsible after impregnating a woman and decided, I'm not going to be associated. They've been stripped of a good way of living. They've been stripped of a good parenting. They've been stripped of many things. Ladies and gentlemen, life can be tough. But then comes the Good Samaritan. Put your hands together for Jesus. So ladies and gentlemen, never go down from Jerusalem. One of the easiest people to be dropped. When people have issues, one of the first people to be dropped is God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. People say, I have issues. You know, I'm dealing with certain things. That's why I didn't come to church. I'm dealing with certain things. That's why I don't want to see anybody. Listen, it's not the correct thing to do. Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Yeah. And then the verse 29 says, come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke, verse 30, is easy, and my burden is light. Many of you identify with what I'm saying. There are some people that were abused by their parents. They can't trust an adult. Yeah. I saw a certain lady who always kept the child. All her children, no, I will homeschool them. They were failing. They were becoming social deviants. But she would never agree. Even in the church, you dare not touch the child. The child cannot go to children's church. She was filled with insecurities. She had been abused. Her relatives had been abused. Stripped of their sense of worth. Sometimes when they are reacting, you can't understand. Ladies and gentlemen, don't avoid such people. Just tell yourself, there may be a wound that is deep-seated. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, then comes the healer, who, when he comes, he sees your insecurities. He sees your wounds. He sees you bleeding. He sees you half dead. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the reason why you must stay in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the innkeeper, to live with the innkeeper to take care of you, is that when the world sees you as half dead, Christ sees you as half alive. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah, there is no sin that you can do to out-sin God. The prodigal son came and he was embraced. A ring was put on his finger. Clothes were put on him. Shoes were given him. The fatted calf was killed to have a party for him. That's the love of Abba Father. That's the blessedness of Jesus Christ. So the Samaritan came and looked where the priests, where the religious people who would wear ties and who would wear crosses wouldn't do anything. He came simply, single-handedly. Bible says that he poured wine in the wound. He poured oil in the wound. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call first aid. Whenever you come to the church, your first contact with Jesus Christ, usually you don't know him. Usually you don't know Jesus. That's why the altar call is anybody who doesn't know Jesus. But Jesus says, it doesn't matter that you don't know me. I want to get to know you. I want to get to know, in spite of your wounds, your afflictions, your insecurities, your sins, I want to heal you. Come closer to me. Is there a song like that? Closer to me. I want to heal you. I want to touch you.
All those thoughts and all those fears.
All those cares and fears.
Had down through the years.
That you've had through the years. I want to heal you. Says the Lord. Sing one more time, my dear. Oh, come closer to me. Closer to me. I want to heal you. I want to touch you.
All those doubts and all those fears that you've had down through the years, I want to heal you, says the Lord.
So he comes with the wine. That's the blood. The blood. His own beast. His own blood. First aid is when you get born again. He pours his blood to wipe away every sin. Amen. The wounds have infections. You need wine. In a hospital, I'm a physician, we use alcohol. It can burn. It can be painful. Christianity can sometimes hurt. Want to give up sin can sometimes hurt. But that's the first aid. You must give up certain infections. Hey, I'm telling you, because what you have is worse. If you are left, you will die. Because you are half dead. The healing process can be painful. The first aid, wine. A lady was giving her life to Jesus Christ and gave a testimony. She said, I used to have boyfriends who would fly me to Australia, to London, to Dubai. I had a car to myself. And then I got born again. She didn't have those trips. And she was complaining about the first aid, the blood. But that's only a season. Just give it time. Don't run away from Jerusalem to Jericho. Don't go back to the world of hurts. Just give it time. That lady, as I speak, is married and beautifully married with nice family. But initially it was difficult. The blood was poured to take away the sin. Then the oil is what is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the oil, the anointing to help you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian walk, you never walk it alone. There's always help. There's always help. There's always help. The Holy Spirit is called the helper. If you have not learned to call on the Holy Spirit, call on the Holy Spirit. Some of you don't know him, but interact with him. There's always help. And so, the helper helps you. There's always help. He's there. Support. The support of the word. The oil of the word. The oil of the spirit. And it binds up your wounds to prevent further hurts. Covers it to prevent further bleeding. Anemia is treated. Infection is treated. And Jesus carries you himself. Bible says, by grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Anytime that you think you have to help yourself is not from God. When you find yourself helpless, that's when help comes. Bible says, when I'm weak, then is his strength made perfect. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I came here to encourage you. If you are being tempted to go down from Jerusalem to Jericho, please, Jesus is meeting you. He's telling you what you're feeling is the blood. What you're feeling, the oil is going to help you to make things easier. Just stay on, stay on. And he will carry you. He carried him and he went to the inn. And when he went, he gave him to the innkeeper. The innkeeper. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is that good Samaritan. The innkeeper is the pastor of the church. The inn is the church. The whole process is a process of restoration. Jericho is no more. Now the inn is your place. Welcome to the inn. I present to you today your innkeeper, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Put your hands together for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, when God gives you a pastor, when God gives you a church, he has started the road of restoration. Amen. That's what it is. Psalm 43 and verse 4. Isaiah 43 and verse 4. Bible says, because you are precious to me and have loved you and you have been honorable, therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you've suffered. I don't know what your wounds and afflictions are. But there's a certain feeling that comes whenever you meet a shepherd. Whenever that you may think that somebody who invited you was the reason why you're here. But Jesus was at work in that person. It was not a mistake to be here. And anything that keeps you away from this presence is of the devil, I can assure you. It's of the devil, I can assure you. It's of the devil, I can assure you. Because Jesus wants to present you to the safest place. You may not be in Mount Zion physically, but he's created the spiritual Mount Zion. He brought him to the inn. He's paid for it. Whatever it takes for your healing is in the word. That's the treatment. That's the treatment. That's the treatment. That's the treatment. Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their distractions. I have been through things. I've suffered a lot of issues, a lot of past. But as I've been in the Lord has mended my thought processes, my relationships. When you look at my parents, they never held hands to go anywhere. They never ate together, maybe once or twice. But to go to a restaurant, they never spoke to us as kids. I never knew how to do that. But as I have come in Christ, as he's taken the, giving me the blood treatment and the oil treatment, as he's bound up my wounds, as he's restored me, he sent me to an innkeeper, the pastor of the church, Bishop Dagwood Mills. He counseled us. He helped me to find a beloved. I married in the church. He taught me how to bring up children, how to treat a lady. I never knew how to treat in my family. You don't marry one. Or you marry one, you have to have multiple. Yeah. But I've married one. How did it become? The restoration of the inn with the innkeeper. And everything that the innkeeper has as a pastor is what Jesus has put inside of him. He said, take and take care of them. I will give you whatever it takes. Whatever you need to actually become better is inside of this innkeeper. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. And because of the help that he gives. He's paid for your life. He's paid for your future. He's paid for your children. He has what it takes to raise your children. It's up to you to present yourself. Sometimes you have an issue and you come for counseling and you are amazed at the wisdom that is coming because it's coming from the Lord. Sometimes you look at me, when I finish preaching, I watch. I said, look, I was tired. I didn't have any scriptures. Where did all these scriptures come from? Where did all the strength come from? How did I do it? Sometimes I'm in pain as I'm preaching. Me, myself, I'm hurting. But I'm amazed at the encouragement. It's because of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in his church. Believe in the inn. Believe in the innkeeper. Never drift away. When you are in trouble, that's when you need the inn the more. When it's raining, don't be salt as if you're going to melt. The Lord wants to give you an upgrade on your life. Don't degrade yourself by withdrawing. Everything that you have is in the innkeeper. He said in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15, I will give you pastors after my heart who have my passion, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That word feed is also in 1 Peter chapter 5. That word feed also is in John chapter 21 verse 15. that interview he gave, Jesus Christ was about to die and go away. And he was about to get his replacement in human being. And it was Peter. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And he had an interview with Peter. And he had three things to say. Number one, he's dying. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, you're going to be the next pastor. You're going to replace me. You're going to be the innkeeper, that first innkeeper. You're going to be representing what is going to happen to my people. Do you love me more than this? And he said, yeah, Lord, I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my lambs. Second question, the same thing. Again, he asked, do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. The third, he asked the same question, do you love me? Every interview that you go, and they ask you only one question three times, and they said, fine. That must be very important. Feed, that word, feed my flock. It's Jesus only chooses pastors who love him to do his work. I am actually expressing God's passion. When you see zeal, it's not me, it's the Lord. The zeal of the Lord has consumed me. When you see you haven't come and I'm calling, don't say I'm coming for you, you're coming for yourself. It's the passion. I'll give you pastors after my heart who love me to feed you. Do you know what that word feed means? It's the Greek word bosko. Bosko or poimano, two words. It means to defend them. It means to take care of them. It means to prepare food for them. It means to seek their interest. It means to tend them like a flock. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest gifts I've ever had is the gift of a pastor. If God has given you one, don't despise it. Don't become too familiar. But draw, not as a human being. Don't see me. See Christ in me, the hope of glory. See the Holy Spirit, the helper, the oil. And every one time you come here, write notes as the Lord preaching to you. And don't question speaking to your life, healing your wound, restoring you, upgrading your life. You can only become better. But when you regress, you go down. May the Lord help you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your inn, Lighthouse Chapel International, UD. Welcome to your innkeeper, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Put your hands together, rise to your feet.
The Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive in Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Be blessed.